Matthew chapter 1. I appreciate you again coming, being faithful, and bringing your Bibles. I hope ready to hear from the Word of God, and hope to be a blessing and encouragement to you here this morning. We're going to continue looking at Matthew 1, really an inspection. I call it the inspection of the Incarnation, just kind of going through, looking at what happened prior to, during, and even after the wonderful incarnation of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Matthew chapter 1, we come and pop onto the scene. As you know, I'm sure you know your Bibles, but if you don't, there was a 400-year silence from God. And He did not speak. He did not give a vision, a dream. He did not speak through an angel. Any kind of revelation was not given for 400 years. And all of a sudden, in Matthew 1, pops onto the scene, an angel, or the Lord speaking to Mary and Joseph. And you understand and see that God, what He promised to do, He's going to do. Now, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years prior to this, God said there's a virgin going to conceive and bring forth a son. And His name will be called Emmanuel, meaning God with us. Well, there's 400 years passed. And they're going, well, when, Lord, when? You know, I think about the United States of America, we're less than 300 years old. And people say we're the greatest nation to ever exist, the most powerful, the wealthiest, all of that. And I do believe that. But you got to remember, people say, well, when's God coming? When's the Lord coming back? When's He going to do what all that He said He was going to do? Well, you just hang on. He's going to do what He said He's going to do. And He did just that very thing. Now, we come to Matthew 1, and I won't read the whole beginning portion because it's the great genealogy, or the generations, if you will, from Abraham to Jesus. Now, Matthew, again, the Gospel of Matthew, it really shows the kingship, if you will, of Jesus Christ. He's the King of the Jews, and that's what He goes. It starts out with Abraham. Abraham's the father of the Jewish nation, if you will, and it goes all the way down to Jesus Christ. Now, this morning as we look at this, I want you to jump down to verse 18 with me. We'll get there. We started last week in Luke 1 and looked at the interaction with Mary and the Lord, or the angel. We're going to look more at the husband here, Joseph, this morning. Verse 18, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as His mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing, notice, to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Now as we see this wonderful, wonderful story unfold of the birth of Jesus Christ, we see that they, as I said last week, try and put yourself in the shoes of these individuals as you read the Bible, because it'll greatly help you. As you learn to read as a child, at least hopefully, you learn to read as a child. If you were like me in school, they would tell me, put yourself in their shoes. You know, develop a creativity or an imagination, if you will. Same thing with the Bible. We got to put ourselves in their situation. It'll give us a greater understanding of what's going on. Now, Joseph is a hardworking man. We know according to Scripture, Joseph was a carpenter. He's hardworking. Hands were calloused, knees were sore, back was probably shot. All the things you think about. He had high demand. He was probably very busy. All that he went through. He finds a beautiful young girl. And they, you know, start talking and they start courting. And everything's going very well. He falls in love with this girl. And one day she comes to him and says, Joseph, I have something I need to talk to you about. He says, not right now. I'm busy, honey. She says, no, it's important. We need to talk now. And he says, well, what is it? She says, I'm pregnant. And he scratches his head for a minute, you know, and thought, well, I'm not no spring chicken, but nothing's happened yet. How can that be? What's going on? And she explains to him, as we read last week, Luke 1. She said, well, the Lord came to me and told me this, this, and that. The angel of the Lord came and told me this and that, and I'm found a child of the Holy Ghost. Now, if you're Joseph, you're going to, for a minute, think this lady's, she's nuts. You know, she's crazy. don't know what to do. But notice, as we're going to see in a minute here, the type of individual Joseph was. You put yourself in that shoe. Can you imagine the pressure and the stress and all the things that Joseph had to go through? Now, he knew that if he would take Mary and obey the word of God, he's going to lose family, he's going to lose friends, he's going to lose business. And in today's culture in the United States of America, you don't lose business, you don't lose money. That's a no-no. And sadly for a lot of Christians as well, we don't like that. And you think about this, he knew that, and later, as we read last week in John 8, they accused Jesus of being born of fornication. So there is a rumor, there is an assumption going around this area where they're from, of Galilee, that Mary's messed up. She's gone behind Joseph's back, she's done something, and all that comes with that, all the pressure. But notice what Joseph does. He refuses to listen to the world, and he listens to the word of God, and he follows the Lord. I want to encourage you with that this morning. Number one, are you following the word? Are you choosing, making a concise effort? I'm going to listen to the word of God. I'm going to do God's will over man's will. Boy, man pushes us, doesn't? World pushes us, twists our arms to follow, conform to the world, don't they? Paul says in Romans 12, he says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The natural tendency is for us to conform to the world. The natural inclination for us is to fit in, to get along with everybody. Go along to get along. That's not biblical Christianity. We're to be out of this world. Jesus said we're to be the salt and the light. A city that's set on a hill cannot be hid. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Remember that song we sang in Sunday school? I'm going to let it shine. Now notice here with me. Verse 18 back here. She was a spouse of Joseph. Before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. The Bible clears up and clarifies a lot of false doctrine if you'll just read it. If you'll just read the Bible. A lot of people, I was shocked to find out how many so-called Christians today believe that there was some kind of physical interaction between Mary and the Holy Ghost. Does not say that. Never says that. Okay, it's a made-up sick idea. She was found of the Holy Ghost. God's going to do what He's going to do. Now notice verse 19. Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and notice his phrasing here, not willing to make her a public example. Not willing. That's indicative of that there were people in Joseph's life that were pushing him to make her a public example. He said, I'm not willing to do that. Now, Joseph, you know the law. Now, Joseph, you know what you're supposed to do. You may have family members like that or friends. Now, you know what you should do. And you go, well, that contradicts the Bible. I'm sorry, Kent. Well, you know what you should do. They said to Joseph, Joseph, you know what to do. You know what you should be doing. Your wife is not right. Your wife is not doing what she's supposed to be doing. Or your fiancé, if you will, at this point. You're not doing what you're supposed to do. He says, no, I'm not willing. I'm not willing. There's pressure from the outside to make her a public example. There's outside pressure. You and I are going to face outside pressure. If you stand for Christ, if you live for the Lord, if you read your Bibles more than two times a week, if you pray more than 5 minutes a week, I hope you are, you're going to be what? Pressured from outside to conform to the world. To conform to someone else's idea of what's right. What does that mean? We have to solidify and get settled in our hearts today. What do you go by? This is what we call our final authority. People are going to come in and say, well, Brother Brandon, Brother Dan, Brother Adam, listen, you've got to do something, and it contradicts the Bible. You go, I'm sorry, this is my final authority. This is what I follow. This is what I stick to. This is what I go with. Not what you think. The world has a philosophy today. The world has an ideology today. The world, let me say, has a doctrine today. It's fascinating to me. Fascinating. They push so much of their doctrine upon us, don't they? You can't meet together if you don't meet these regulations and rules. My body, my rights. That's not biblical, is it? It's their doctrine that they push and they emphasize and all these things. I'm just saying, there's pressure from the outside, and you better settle this morning what your final authority is, because they're going to call you out on it. And they're going to say, why are you doing that? Why is your marriage that way? Why do you choose to raise your kids this way or that way? Why are you following that? We say, I do it because of the Lord. He commanded me to do it. He's not willing. Notice that, not willing. There's another time in Scripture where it uses this phrase, not willing, and you know it. It's in the book of Peter. 2 Peter, he says what? The Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now, as we're going to see in a minute, that's the purpose of Jesus Christ's incarnation. He would come and he would what? He was sent forth. He was brought forth to take away, to bear the sins of the world. He's not minded. Notice the two contradicting words here in this verse. There's public and there's privily. Now, this word means private. You know that. There's public and private. All of us have a public life and all of us have a private life. And when you mix the two up, sometimes you get in trouble. There's a private life. There's a public life. Sadly, today, I know this to be true for my own life. But what should be public, I often keep private. What should be private, I often keep or make public. When I should be sharing the gospel with people, I don't. But when I should shut my mouth and not say those certain things, I do it anyways. You like me? I know that. Don't say that. Oops. Don't do that. Oops. I like the wordplay here. The public and private. I want to challenge you to pray about this week. Lord, is what I'm supposed to be making public private in my life? Lord, is what I'm keeping private supposed to be public, vice versa? What am I supposed to, Lord, I'm missing the point here. Help me to prioritize you in my life. And you know that the Bible has a wonderful way to get us straightened out. I want to challenge you with that as well. Look into the Word of God, study the Bible, and focus. Now notice with me secondly here, verse 20. But while he thought on these things, Joseph said, before I act and before I open my mouth and before I make a fool and a big mess, I'm going to think on these things. Although I think Mary is wrong, I think that she may have messed up. I don't understand what she's talking about. Everyone's pressuring me to make her a public example. Everyone's pressuring me to step aside, not go to church anymore, not read my Bible, not believe those certain things that I believe is true. Before I act on that, I'm going to think on these things. I can't tell you how many times in my own life, if I would have just stopped and thought on these things before acting or speaking, oh man, I'd be out of trouble. I put my size 11 shoe in my mouth. Or later you go, you eat crow, right? I mean, just, if I would have just thought on these things. Now, Joseph stopped and thought on these things. Now, hold your place in Matthew 1. Turn with me back to Philippians chapter 4. Would you do that? Philippians 4, because I want you to notice what the Bible says we should be thinking about. Philippians 4, notice in verse 8. He says in Philippians 4, verse 8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. You and I are given direct command on what to think about. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter number 10, if you recall, he says we ought to cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against what? The knowledge of Christ, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Well, I don't have control over my thoughts. That's not true. We have control over our thoughts. Now, things pop in our head. We know that. Like old Charles Spurgeon said, you can't help the birds from flying over your head, but you don't got to let them make a nest in your hair. Right? You get thoughts come, thoughts go, all these things come, but you don't got to sit and dwell on these things. And Paul says here, we got to think on these things. Are you thinking about things that are true, honest, lovely? Truth. We need to be thinking about the truth. The Bible's the truth. Jesus Christ said, I'm the way, the truth. Well, how do I do that? You need to memorize Scripture. Easy to say, hard to do. How many remember their phone number from when they were a kid? They were a child. Right. Remember, or the well, I hope you remember your address, where you lived, or something like that. But you can't, how many can't even remember what happened this morning, like me? I can't. My wife said, what's all these combinations and these, you know, you go on your phone, you got umpteen different codes and passwords and usernames. And my wife has them saved in her phone, all of them. And so I was going, honey, what was the password to such and such, such and such? And it's usually the same thing. I just can't remember. You know? Okay. And you, all these things, they're crazy. Or you have to do the thing where it says, I want to make sure you're not a robot or whatever that is. So they got to copy what it says. You know? And it's squirrely and it's twisted and it's blurry. And you're going, what in the world is that? But that's what it is. Are you thinking about truth today? Memorizing, focusing on the Lord. Truth. You ever have thoughts, and I know that you do, and I have them? They're just fantasy thoughts. They're made up things. Well, if they ever say that to me, I'm going to tell you. This is made up. That person has never done anything to you. That person has never even talked to you. And you're going, had a lady at Costco the other day, bless her heart. But man, she was mean. She was in a bad mood. And this and that. And I was just going, I'm sorry. I didn't, sorry about that. Well, you didn't get two. You're supposed to get two of these pastries. Don't you know that? They're two for one. I said, I didn't know that. I'm sorry. Do you want them or not? I said, no, never mind. I don't want them. She just let me have it. And I learned my lesson there. But, you think about those things and you're going, man, you think about what's true. Notice what he says again here. What is honest? Honest. Honesty. What is just? That's what Joseph was. That means carries with it integrity, purity, upfrontness. All these things that you think about unjust. He says, whatsoever things are pure. Our society today is sick-minded. There's no purity in our thoughts today, is there? Oh, my goodness sakes. Purity. Impure. Everything around us. I want to challenge you. I said this again, that the Word of God is the greatest cleansing agent in the life of a human being. It will cleanse things that you cannot cleanse with soap and water. It'll cleanse your mind. It'll cleanse your heart. It'll cleanse your personality. You can tell when someone spends time in Scripture throughout the week. Why? Because they have a sweeter spirit about them. You're identifying with the Holy Spirit. That's what it does. You're taking part of that. Anyways, you know what I'm saying. What are you thinking about? What are you thinking about? Now, back in Matthew 1, would you go with me if you held your place there? He talks about, and he says, he thought on these things in verse 20. Behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David. Notice the identification. Fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. I love this because God always confirms. When you wait on God and trust Him and spend time with Him, and Lord, I want to know what to do, He'll confirm it. You come to a rock in a hard place, which I think all of us come to almost every day, or the proverbial fork in the road where you got to go to the left or the right, and you have to make a decision right now. What do? You get alone with God. You don't act. You don't react. You don't step forward one step. You don't open your mouth one word in that situation, in that area, until you spent time with the Lord, until you think on these things. Notice, and then the Lord spoke. He says, fear not. What was the major problem in Joseph's life at that moment? Fear. He feared the Jews. He feared the law. He feared what was going to come, the repercussions of all that takes going to take place with his wife. And he feared that. He said, fear not. Fear not. And take unto thee Mary thy wife. For that which is conceived in her is the Holy Ghost. Well, that's what Mary said, but I didn't really know if I should believe her or not. He says confirmation comes. Confirmation comes in the life. The world, the average person in the world today has no idea where they came from, has no idea what they're doing here right now, and has no idea where they're going to go. Talked to someone recently. Where are you going to go when you die? I haven't thought about that. I'm going, you're almost 60-something years old. You haven't thought about that yet. Where are you going to go? And if they were teaching our kids, they came from nothing. Some kind of chemical soup came together, and out came this little tadpole, and then came and developed into a monkey. And you're thinking, if I came from that, I have no purpose here. And then they're teaching them now there's nothing in the afterlife. Nothing. What a sad state. No wonder the suicide rate among teenagers is at an all-time high right now in 2021. All-time high. You think about today, we need to be reaching people with the gospel and telling them there is truth, there is hope, there is a blessed hope that we're looking forward to. And it's in the form and person of Jesus Christ. But notice the confirmation. Confirmation. Do you need confirmation today not to do what you want to do? No, confirmation to do the will of God. Lord, I want to do your will. God says, I'll help you, I'll show you. I want to follow you, I'll show you what to do. I'll show you what to do. Notice verse 21 as we move ahead here. And she shall bring forth a son. Shall call his name Jesus. He shall save his people from their sins. You want to underline that. He shall save his people from their sins. That is the express purpose of Jesus Christ's incarnation. He said it on at least two occasions. He said in Luke 19, I've come and I'm giving myself a ransom for many. A ransom. We know what that is. You give an exchange for. If somebody were to come and kidnap me this morning, they say, we're not going to give Brother Tim back. So you give us well, I'm not worth much, but $500. You would all look around and go, I ain't got five. Just let him go, man. We'll get, let him go. No, I'm kidding. Was it a ransom, right? Say, you give us this much, and we'll give you back whatever it is, whoever they kidnapped. And Jesus said, I've come to take the place on this old rugged cross for all of humanity. And Paul says in 1 Timothy and chapter 1, and he says, this is what? For all to accept. This wonderful gift of Jesus Christ is for all to accept. And I say it again, because it is my responsibility. If you're here today and don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, today's the day. I'd love to take the Bible, take 10 minutes of your time and share with you and make sure that you know you're saved. Why? That's the purpose that He came. He didn't come to be a great preacher. He didn't come to be this great, if you will, a prophet, although He was. He didn't come to be something of a red carpet rolled out for Him. No. He came to what? To seek and to save that which was lost and to give His life a ransom for many. You know that. As I said last week, you would think that this precious, holy Son of God, God manifested in the flesh, they would come, they would roll the red carpet out. They would take a mink or a fur coat, laced and lined with gold and precious jewels, and they would wrap this precious little baby. No, none of that. He was brought forth in a dirty old stinking barn, put in a manger or a trough where they fed, and they took what's called the swaddling clothes. If you know that, it's the death rags. It's strips of old garment. The swaddling cloth, they called it. It's strips of old clothes that you would throw out like you use in your garage, you know, old t-shirts and other things. They take strips of that and they wrap a dead body in it with the oil and spices and other things. And all they had there in the barn was those swaddling clothes. But it's a great picture that Jesus Christ was born to die. They wrapped Him in those swaddling clothes, those rags, as she held that precious baby. And you folks that have children, you know and remember that event. How precious, how innocent, how that little baby can do absolutely nothing for itself. And you wrap that little precious baby up and you think about today. That's what Jesus did. He came for us. Let me move ahead and wrap it up here. And then He says in verse 22 and 23, this was done. We know Isaiah 7:14, verse 23, that a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they'll call His name Emmanuel, which is interpreted God with us. God with us. Very clear in Scripture, we know the deity of Jesus Christ. Let me clarify that Mary, what's called Mariolatry, the worship of Mary, making Mary a deity, making her a goddess or a god, is unbiblical. I know you know that, but let me just clarify. Some of you, I've talked to some of you, you've come out of the Catholic Church. You grew up Catholic. My wife grew up Catholic. Heavy Catholic. And all that they went through. And you ask the church, the Catholic Church, they say, oh, we don't worship Mary. But you ask any of the followers, they're going to go, You worship the image and the person of Mary. Now, Mary was nothing, we would say, special by way of a deity. She was a very sweet girl. She loved the Lord. She was holy. She was righteous. Obviously, that the Lord would choose her. But she is not a god. She's not a deity. This here is what boggles my mind, that they'll worship Mary, but lower Christ. Don't they? That challenges my mind. I don't know about you. Now, think about it. Behold, the fulfillment of what God said. Let me just say again, God's going to do what He's going to do. God's going to fulfill exactly what He said. Well, it hasn't happened in our lifetime. You just hang on. It will. It will. And God came the first time, the Lord Jesus Christ, as a suffering lamb, and they took Him and they did whatever they wanted to do with Him. That's what Jesus said. You took Me, you did whatever you want to do with Me. They mocked Him, they spit on Him, they beat Him, they pierced His side, they hung Him on a cross. He came as that lamb, but He's coming a second time, if you know your Bible, as a roaring lion. And He's going to take care of business. He's going to handle this stuff. And He'll make known He's in control. Now, verse 24, notice then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him. He did what God told him to do, and took unto him his wife. Knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son. Now, you say there's not a lot of significance there, but there is. And you think about this, and I'll be very kind and not try and be crude this morning. But Joseph could have gotten with Mary to what? to tell the people, no, we've been together. We've been together, so that's my child. He could have done that. You think about that? Even after he found this out, he said, well, maybe we should just, you know, get together so that we can say that we got together and had that. No. What did he do? He refused to follow man's way. He refused, secondly, to follow his own insecurity. Well, if I do, you ever been like that? If I do this or that, maybe we'll fill that in. What does it say? He knew or not. He said, you know what? Nope, I'm going to take her, keep her private over here. I'm not going to make her a public example, and we're not going to be together because the Lord said not to, and we're going to see this thing out. What a challenge to us today to stay and follow and abide by the Word of God. Joseph did exactly what was bidden him. He did exactly what the Lord told him to do. Now, easy to say, hard to do. I love the Bible, and I love especially one of my favorite books is the book of Acts, the Acts of the Apostles. I'm so glad it's not the words of the apostles, the preachings of the apostles. Those are great, but it's the Acts of the Apostles. They acted out. It's the actions of the apostles, and I love that. And Jesus, before he ascended on high, he told the apostles standing there, he said, go and do whatsoever I've commanded you. And in the book of Acts chapter 1, it says they were standing and staring up into the sky, gazing. And an angel appeared to them and said, what are you standing around here for? Get busy. Get busy. And that's our commission today as well. Over the last 2,000 years is to get busy. Occupy till he comes. Occupy does not carry with it the idea of sitting back and doing nothing. When the Lord comes, he comes, and I'm just going to be ready. I'm going to get saved and then sit, sulk, and sour. No. Occupy means get busy. You're busying yourself in the work and things of God. Nehemiah stood on that great wall and he rebuilt the wall. As he was building, he met many adversaries. You know that. They said, boy, look at that craftsmanship. Look at that mason work. Boy, if a fox went up on that wall, it'd crumble. And they said, why don't you just come on down, Nehemiah? We need to talk. And he says, I'm not coming down. Why don't you come down? We need to have a business meeting down here. He says, I'm not coming down. And then he makes this statement. I cannot come down. What? Why should I come down and let the work of the Lord cease? The reason he wouldn't come down off the wall is because he was busy for God. And the reason why so many Christians come so easily down off the wall and compromise and quit working for God and serving God and doing things for God, because they're not busy for God. We need to get busy for the Lord and staying active for the Lord. And Joseph said, although I'm just a simple carpenter, although I don't have a high education, although I don't know a lot of things about life, I know one thing in whom I have believed and am persuaded that he's able. I know who I believe. We all need to settle that this morning in our heart. Who do you believe? The Christmas season is one of the best times to share the gospel or to reach people. You say, I'm not good at doing that. That's fine. Invite people to church. Invite people to church. Invite them. Say, hey, why don't you come? Why don't you come? Challenge people in that way to think about the truth of this wonderful, wonderful event called the Incarnation. What do you think about today? And I'll close out with this. Are you thinking on these things? Are you waiting on the Lord? Are you trusting Him? You don't understand everything that God's doing, but you trust Him anyways. See, that's real faith. That's real faith. I don't understand what God... Sometimes, some things I read in the Bible and I go, Lord, there is no way. But you just trust Him, don't you? You trust the person of Christ. I don't understand, Lord, what's going on right now, but I trust you anyways. I don't know. Joseph said, I've never heard this thing. I've never seen this thing. And you take fifth grade biology class and you know a virgin doesn't conceive. And Joseph is going, this ain't going to happen. There is no way. And I believe, I have to, the Bible doesn't say, but I believe Joseph knew the scriptures. And he knew the prophecy of Isaiah 7. And it began to work in his mind. And I want to encourage you this morning, let the Bible, let the Word of God work. When you don't see a way, God will make a way. And what will keep you and strengthen you during the time of waiting is the precious Word of God. Do you know it today? Do you know it? Okay, I'll wrap it up there. Think on these things. Let your mind be saturated in the Word of God. And then, can I say lastly, stay busy for the Lord. Do what He's asked you to do. Get right with Him if you need to, and then go forward. As it says, the Lord had bidden him. He did it. He did it. He did it. Amen. I hope that's a blessing to you this morning. We'll look a little bit more, one more message next week about this and seeing a little bit what takes place after this wonderful event and some of the things that take place in the life of Jesus and his family and how there's a solid case that this is an accurate thing. I know you believe that, but there's so many that doubt it. This was not true. This was not real. It really is. If you doubt the Word of God this morning, I want to challenge you to read it through. You read English. I know you do. And so it's not going to be difficult. You have a Bible at home. I think you have probably four or five at home. You need to read the Bible through at least once in your life, one time. And if you read it through and go, I don't believe any of that, then good. At least it'll ease your conscience. And you'll go, okay, I read it through, but I don't believe it. But you owe it to yourself. You need to read the Bible. And we need to be in the Bible this week. Sad to say, we didn't spend a lot of time in the Bible this week. We didn't spend a lot of time in prayer. We got a lot done. You checked everything off your list. I'm talking to myself. I didn't spend a lot of time with the Lord. And not trying to be harsh this morning, but we need to get busy here. And we need to spend time with God. And we're confused and we're upset and we have arguments repeatedly in our marriages and we have trouble at work and we have a temper tantrum all the time. We can't control our spirit. Why? We don't spend time with God. We don't spend time with Him. You spend time with God, you get close to God, you'll be changed. You'll be changed. All right, Lord, thank You for this morning. I pray that, Lord, something said was a help and a blessing. I know for me, as I studied and prepared, what a challenge. Convicted, yes, I was, and challenged, of course. I pray You'd help me, though, Lord, not just to be stirred and moved, but, Lord, to be changed and to act upon it. And I ask for Your help to do that, but I pray for those here, these precious folks that are so faithful. I pray You'd help all of us, God, to prioritize You like we should. Oh, it's so easy to talk about, but it's hard to do. And these dear people here that are under the sound of my voice are so busy. They're hardworking people. They are godly people that love You. They seek to win the lost. They're seeking to draw nigh to You, and yet challenges of life come daily. Help us, Lord. Help us to prioritize You and know that, God, You have the power to change us and help us. Thank You for a wonderful example we find in Joseph this morning. And last week we looked a little bit at Mary, their sweet, precious spirit that they had, willingness to not just believe and talk about it, but act upon it. And that's a challenge to all of us today. But bless us now, God. Guide us. If anyone here knows You not as their personal Savior, I pray that they'd make today the day. And I ask that You'd guide us this day, this afternoon, and then this evening. In Jesus' name we do pray.